Hello and welcome to Believers Family Church. We are so blessed that you've tuned in today. We are a growing church lifting up Jesus in the beautiful and historic Johnstown, New York. God has called us here to set the captives free. We pray and we believe that today's message will produce great fruit in your life. He who the Son set free is free indeed, and we call you free. Enjoy today's message.
I had the day, the hour, and the choice. Now, we're in that day. You saw it. This is like a takeover in America. It's kind of like a sneaky move-in, you know, because we're such a free nation that they get to do what they want to do. But that affects us, that this is spreading so wild. So earlier on in the cycle of everything that's happening overseas, on TV they were showing you Americans and Christians being beheaded right on TV. Now, that wasn't no cartoon. It wasn't a story. It was a real deal. So I'm thinking, God, how many believers, so-called, are out there with Baal worship? Because if they're not serving God, they're serving Baal. They're serving a dead god. They're serving a clay god. They're serving a stone god, one that can't do anything for them except keep them in the place of no guilt or condemnation, because it's too hard to walk out this Christian walk. But this is the day we're in. So it's the day, it's the hour, it's the choice. And we are in the day now. Would you agree? Now, I'd love to have you go out laughing, but this today is no laughing matter, which means that we got to hook up with somebody. We got to make sure that, hey, you know what? I did tell them about Christ. They refused to receive Christ, but I did tell them about Christ. So they'll never be able to say to God, well, no one ever told me, or I didn't hear it. So I promise you that after today, we'll get some life back into this. But this was so important that it wasn't handed to me. Nothing happens with me by coincidence. It just doesn't happen that way with me. And in the course of the whole week, I had three confirmations of the same thing, including the Bible verse that came through on my Bible program this morning, talking about this. I said, God, so you're saying to go ahead with it? Because I was questioning it big time because of the hardship it puts on us to be alert to what's going on. I don't want one person to go to hell. Not one. And he said, if you want to, go to hell. He wasn't swearing at you. It's the real deal. This man is a rabbi. He's a Jewish rabbi. Sincere one. So he said, this is what God said. We are in the day. We are at the hour. Now is the time of choice. We're in the day, we're in the hour, and now is the time of choice. The choice to do what? The choice to take your place in the kingdom of God. The choice to know, listen, it doesn't matter. This physical body is not going to live forever, but your spirit is. But where? Where? Let's get outside ourselves. It's not about us, it's about God. And then, you know, you probably read the verse before, but I titled this verse of Scripture, Two Opinions Follow One. And you see this in this verse of Scripture. It's 1 Kings 18:21 with Elijah. He was so on top of these people. They were worshiping Baal. And he's saying, you got to make a choice. Saying, you got to choose this day who you're going to serve. So here, Elijah says, in 1 Kings 18:21, Elijah came to all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. And the people answered not a word. Why? What are you going to say about that? It's kind of like you freeze them in a place where they got to make a decision. They don't know what to do. So they said nothing. And he said what the definition of Baal was. It's too kind of like a hyphenated word. It means Lord or Master. So basically, people are treating statues. Now, this is nothing against Catholicism, but they got statues in the church that people worship. Right? People worship. They go say prayers in front of these statues. You all got to go to God. Just get on your knees and go to God. Hallelujah. Jesus would say, does this offend you? And you know what? Who God gets the hardest on before this comes to you? Hello? The hardest? My wife came home from a women's retreat changed in a good way, where she's got so much wisdom that came from this retreat that she's passing it on to me, and God was working on me the whole time to receive from her what she had to give me, and I received it with everything, breath by breath. Why? Because God gave me a wife or a lady inside my life who could speak to me, and I finally would listen. And God is saying, will you hear me now? It's this woman you gave me, Lord. Yeah. That's a good thing. The harbinger simply means something that precedes and indicates the approach of something or someone. So in other words, they kind of like come in and prepare you to receive what's coming. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at all that somewhere, somehow, the finances would just come right to us so we could have that church up on the hill and then 600 people a week come in from this community because they say, you know what? God is doing something there. And you know, you can tell when you're getting a word from God because when ministers put a word together like this, do you know how much time they have to prepare to get it organized and put it right so that it sounds like something you could receive? While we're back here penning it down and writing it down and struggling, put this in, take this out. Say, God, you know what? This isn't too easy. He said, I never said it would be. Something that precedes and indicates the approach of something or someone else. You know, what came back to my memory really quick about that whole that, you know, because Moses was on top of that mountain too long. So what do these idiotic Israelites do? They had to make themselves a god, didn't they? What was it, a golden? They were worshiping. But it was the word of God that destroyed that lion. When Moses took the word of God and threw it down and hit it, it just like destroyed. God says, the word is alive, the word is well, the word is strong, and it's strong enough to defeat any Baal in your life. Anything you could be worshiping. You ever hear this saying? Oh, I just worship the ground that he walks on. Anybody ever heard that? Don't get down that low. That's way low. You worship the ground that he walks on? I've heard people say that to me way back in the day when we get excited about boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance, and the whole thing. He says, oh, I just worship the ground he walks on. My wife never said that to me, and I'm glad she didn't. I'm glad she didn't. She just loved on me all the way through 42 years. So, guess who comes on the scene after Elijah? Brother James. Brother James. And you know what James says? He said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, he doesn't hold back, and it shall be given. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like the wave of a sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now what he's saying is, you're thinking two ways. You're thinking God, you're thinking Baal. You're thinking God, you're thinking Baal. You're thinking God, you're thinking world. You're thinking God. You're thinking world. I don't know what I should do. Should I be world or I should be with God? An undivided man, a double-minded man, is unstable in all his ways. And you know, I don't know about you, but I've been there once and I've been there again. If you can't make a decision, you're two-souled. If you can't make a decision, you're double-minded. Should I? Shouldn't I? Should I? Shouldn't I? Should I? Shouldn't I? God, the only way to resolve that is ask God. God, what do you think? Helping anybody today? Helping me. Glory to Jesus. Double-minded indicates no answer can be given, as in the people answered not a word. Backed up there to 1 Kings. Double-minded, unstable, it indicates no answer can be given as is. So it's like, what should I say? I'm going to be wrong in this, I'm going to be wrong in this, I'm going to be wrong in this. So God said, okay, listen, make a choice. So this verse of Scripture comes up. Now, where did I hear that before? This verse of Scripture comes up. God says, no man can serve two masters. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he would hold on to the one and despise the other. And then God says, you cannot serve God and money. Mammon is money. You cannot serve. This is red letter. The whole thing is red letter. Jesus said that. You cannot serve God and money. Why do I say that? I say that because if you got enough money where you don't need to go to church, money is your God. Preaching pretty good. Better than your amen. There was one over there. Did I get another one? Amen. Number two. Can y'all say amen?
Amen.
Very good, baritone. Hallelujah. So I look at these things and say, God, this is so good. I said, Lord, you know what? I don't know if I should preach this today. Obedience is better than your sacrifice. I'd sacrifice this any day, Lord God. Obedience is better than your sacrifice. Worship. Worship means to... This is it's okay to do this in church, you know. Worship means to bow down to or to hold in high esteem. Can you imagine what would happen during praise and worship if the whole place was big enough for people to come and get down before God and bow down and say, Lord, 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 I love you so much. To bow down? I wonder who would do that. Your pastor would. I would. I'm not embarrassed about anything about God in church at all. I will jump, I will dance, I will run, I'll do anything because God says, boy, this guy's a happy camper. Hallelujah. Yeah. They used to call me world's best. You know why? Because my middle initials are WB. I like it. Worship means to bow down to. It's in a holy adoration to get before God, to bow down to or to hold in high esteem. And God says, remember what you used to hear? I said, yeah, Lord, I remember that. I remember that. Nobody should be put up that high. I don't think my wife would want me to hear her say or in public, I just worship my wife so much. I don't think she'd want to hear that. So, said God, this is a now word. This is a now word. Because there's things occurring now, Lord God, that you want us to know, and we're willing to listen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 said this. I just extracted this one line, and here's what he said. I think you'd like this one. It's kind of good. Or not kind of good, it is good. And Paul says, let this mind... this thinking process, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How would you like to have a thought life like that? How would you like to be thinking God more than anything? How would you like to be thinking all things are possible to him who believes? that nothing is impossible with God. How would you like to have that mindset where you could say nothing's impossible with God? And that you could think, you know, don't stop cursing yourself by saying something about you that's not good. Because what you're doing is your body's going to obey you. So if you're going to follow after all the things that you think about yourself and you verbalize it, guess what? Your body will respond. And sometimes people in their ignorance don't remember these things, but your body will respond. Oh, I think I'm going to be sick. Next day, you're sick. And the next day, you're sick. If you stand up again and say, by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Body be healed. Next day, hey, I'm feeling better. I'm feeling better. I wonder why. Because the closest thing to your brain is your mouth. As a man thinketh and talks, that's the way he is. And he's saying, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Because he is God. I'm having a good time up here. Sorry about you. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. You're not in a hurry to go, right? Say, Pastor, you have all day to live. To live. You know, the thing, I like my personality sometimes, but sometimes I don't. But the times that I do is when I can joke around in the store and make somebody laugh when they're just ice cold depressed. Anywhere, in any store, anytime. Don't even know what their name is, but make a joke about what they're talking about. And they start laughing. Guess what? Joy, unspeakable, full of glory. Woo! Want to hang out for a while? Hey, let's do breakfast together. We'll keep you all laughing. Bring Pastor Bernie alongside of me. We will never get out of that place. Yeah, it's a good time. Amen? See? Now, you were all laughing there. Isn't like this sad part all gone and all over? Hallelujah. God is so good. So here in the last days, Timothy talks about this. This is Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, and then jumping right down to verse 16. Now, this is a now-day word. Like, this is a present day, like today, October 2nd, today. This is a now word. Now, the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from their faith. Can you imagine that happening? Somebody departing from their faith, giving up on this faith stuff doesn't work. Yes, it does. Negative faith works too. Faith means you just got a lot of positive connectivity to this thing, and whatever it is, you got faith in your fear. So he's saying is that they're going to depart from their faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. I didn't make that up. That's in there. This translation says devils. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving, of them which believe and know the truth. In verse 16, take heed unto yourself, thyself, unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing so thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Did you get that? That verse is in your Bible. It's in there. And I like that last part because he said, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, that's God's word, continue in those doctrines, for in doing so, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So if I've got a word of God inside me, and that's all I talk is the word of God, guess what? When I talk to you in conversation, you might just hear some word in that conversation, and it says right here that them that hear thee. So it must be that the word of God is powerful enough, strong enough, liquid enough to get inside you so that they'll actually hear, not having heard, hear what you say, which will change them. Glory to God. Good place for an amen right there. Amen. Okay. Just, yeah. No, you're breathing. Hallelujah. Paul's letter to the Corinthian church, the 2 Corinthian letter, chapter 5, verse 17, 20, and 21. What I want you to know is this: you will never come to this place and not hear truth. You will never not come here and not hear truth. And if the truth hurts, it's a good thing, because pain is good after a workout. Been there, done that. Those muscles hurt the next day. But it's a good hurt because you just strengthened yourself. Oh, God is so good. There are so many cited examples in my life. At 67, going on 68, my wife is going to be the most beautiful 65-year-old I've ever seen. That's my opinion. But know this. God says the more stuff you go through, get it that you're going through it, strengthened by it, so that you can walk this out. You don't have to beg God for anything. Just know His word. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. So guess what? The old man's gone. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, if that was your life path and that makes it your life path, and say, Paul is saying this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. So in other words, well, you used to, but not anymore. But you used to do this, but not anymore. That guy's dead and gone. I'm a new creature. Don't I look it? I'm a new creature. We got a man dressed over here in a suit and tie, came in ready polished to be an usher in God's house. Guess what? Nobody told him how to dress. He knew how he had to dress. With a beautiful wife, I bet she picked out his clothes. Don't say anything. My wife will tell me if I got the wrong color tie on. Glory to God. I ask her, listen, they know, women know. So he says, all things become new. So it doesn't matter what anybody thinks. You're a new person. And in verse 20, it says this. That was 17. Verse 20, here's what it says. Now then, after all that, you're in Christ, you're a new creature, old things are passed away, all things are become new. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, that you be reconciled to God. So guess what? Here, I like this. I said, God, you know, all these people that have fragmented from church. You know some, I know some. All these people that are fragmented from church, they got so far off the pack that they're under attack. And you got the devil walking around like a roaring lion seeking to who he can devour. They wait for the one to stray from the pack. They wait for people to fragment from church. I'm going to church at home. No. No, church is the body of Christ. Can't have church at home. You can be a Christian at home. But the body of Christ now is the church. It's a New Testament ark. It's a place that you get safety. And it's going to lift you above all the trouble that's coming. You know what the flood did? That the ark, it lifted them above the trouble. The church is the place where you get lifted above the trouble. You get healed. You get laughter. A merry heart does good like a medicine. So he said, for verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, him who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. So guess what? I got good news for you. No matter how bad you think about yourself, God still sees you as righteous. He still sees you as righteous. But God, you don't know. I messed up, God. I swore I did this. But God sees you as righteous. Walk around with that in your backbone, in your shoulders, and back on you. Say, wait a minute. God, but I make a mistake. I repent, repent, repent. You only got to repent once. Why? Watch me. You only got to repent once. Watch. I'm going to repent. Now, if I repent again, I'm going to be back where I was. Repent means to turn around. You only got to do it once. And you confess your sin to God, and He's faithful and just to forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness to make you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Woo, preaching myself happy here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God, you're so good. Aren't you glad I'm on the way home here? Now, these two verses of Scripture are kind of like put together because one's in the Old Testament, first five books of the Bible, and the other one in the New Testament, and they both got God connection in here. So everybody say this, I am now the righteousness of God in Christ. Okay, your body's going to line up now, so is your mind. So God says, hear, O Israel. Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5. God said that. He said, hear, O Israel. Or he didn't say, do you want to hear this? He said, hear. He said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. What he is saying is love God with everything about you. See, he can't stop loving you. He's the one that wrote that song. I can't stop loving you. I made up my mind. God wrote that. Well, Elvis got it from God. Actually, he got it from me. They think, you know, there's something wrong with my lip, man. That's why my wife married me. I used to sit on my mother's front porch and with my guitar and playing love songs. She can over, sit down, listen to that love song. And she loved me. I said, will you marry me? She didn't say, I got to think about it. She said, you got to talk to my dad. Oh, no, I got to get past Fred. Oh, that could be a tough one. I'm glad he's not here today. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, everything about you. And Gospel of Matthew, kind of like similar situation, and Jesus is on the scene now. And Jesus said unto them, this is Matthew 22, verse 37 to 39. Jesus said unto them, God said, hear, O Israel. And Jesus and God are one, right? And Jesus said unto him, because he was in God, he manifested in the flesh, and he came here to tell us all about God. And here's what he says. Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second one is like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's not conceit. Oh, I just love me so much. Oh, I just love me so much. Thank you, you, for loving me. They said, you know, the quickest cure, that's not in my notes, but it just came up, the quickest cure for depression is to love yourself. The quickest cure. We all get that, don't we? Wants to creep in, knock on the door. So what God is saying, it's time to choose. Is it God or is it Baal? And some people that you and I know, stay on them. Not hard, but stay on them because I'm seeing it like this. People are getting themselves too busy to be in church. That's not a bad thing. It's just like, okay, they just, you know, if you're away from something for so long, you're not thinking about that anymore. You know? Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's give God praise for His word, church.
Thank you for listening today. We would love to see and to meet you at one of our services. We are located at 150 South Comrie Avenue in Johnstown, New York. Our services are Sunday morning at 9 and Tuesday evening at 7. For more information about our services and all about what we believe, please go to our website at www.believersfamilychurch.org. That's www.believersfamilychurch.org. Come and worship Jesus together with us at BFC. God bless you, and we hope to see you soon.